Today is Sunday, September the 19th, 2021. And if you would, take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 1 to begin. Last week we looked at some very encouraging verses from the book of Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? In all these things we are more than conquerors. He that gave his only begotten Son delivered him up for us all. How shall he not freely with him give us all things? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We saw some of those last week, and you know, it was very encouraging, because sometimes we go through things and we need to be reminded, as we just were, that God is for us, that God doesn't leave us, and that we can get the deliverance that we need. If all of us in this room were born 100 years ago, we would have gone through World War II, the Depression, the Civil Rights Movement, the Vietnam War, all of these crazy things. You know, when Kathy and I first got married in 1971, I've mentioned this before, that we loved kids, but we didn't want to have any kids because the world was screwed up and it was just a mess. And we didn't want to, why should we bring somebody else into this mess? But once we got a knowledge of God's Word, sat through the foundational class, we went, wow, we could have kids and we could teach them God's Word so that no matter what came up in their lives, they would be able to believe God and trust God. And so, like many of you, we, you know, raised our kids according to God's Word, and you know, that's up to them, whatever they do with it. But it was like, hey, let's have kids because we love kids. But as you know, this world's never going to be perfect, and regardless of what is going on in our world, you and I, we are alive and living in this particular time of history, and we belong to God Almighty, and therefore we are God's people for this day and time. For whatever's going on, we're His. And here we are at this day and time. And we can make a difference by standing for God. I told somebody recently that with things going on in our world that might be discouraging to us, what about people that don't know God's Word? How discouraged are some of those? But I believe from what we read in the Bible that we are God's people for this day and time, because this is when we're alive and we belong to God. And we can bring truth, light, peace, deliverance to people in this day and time. And so I might mention this, that just like any other time in history, we can isolate, run to the hills, hunker down, and hide out until Christ comes back. There have been people over the years that have done that. It's like, we're going to go wait over here till the Lord comes back. Get away from all this crap. You can do that. We have freedom of will. Or we could allow all that's going on in the world and in the country to overwhelm us, to discourage us, to depress us, to get us angry. We could allow that. Or we can choose to trust God for whatever it is we need right now, and then shine in these days that we are living in. And this morning, I just wanted to look a little bit about how to shine as lights in this world. So we begin in Philippians in chapter 1, towards the end, verse 25. Philippians 1, 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation, your behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Well, there's some good direction. We're going to see a lot of good direction this morning. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he's going to give us the example of all examples. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, what a servant, humble and obedient. Wherefore, verse 9, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, after giving us this sterling example of Jesus Christ, verse 12, wherefore should be therefore. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The word salvation is also translated deliverance. That's what it means. It's deliverance. And there are different kinds of salvation or deliverance in the scripture. And a note from Reverend Cummins, the context of each occurrence must be considered to determine what kind of deliverance. Three times in this epistle, it's referring to deliverance from the physical and mental sufferings of bonds and afflictions. And in this context here that we're reading in verse 12, it refers back to the deliverance that we just read in chapter 1. So go back to chapter 1, verse 27 again. 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. So that is the context there. From the working, back to chapter 2, verse 12, from the working translation 2:12, therefore, my beloved ones, even as you have always obeyed God, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation or deliverance with fear and trembling, with reverence and obedience. You know, in those times when we need deliverance for whatever reason, we look to God to supply what we need. And thinking back to some of that stuff we looked at last week, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? My God shall supply all you need. So, you know, he's really exhorting them to, you know, to go to God, to get the deliverance that you need. Then verse 13 says, so work out your own deliverance with reverence and obedience, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Nation means generation. Doesn't mean that Philippi or Macedonia was this ugly part of the world. It was a perverse and ugly nation. Its generation. Its generation. Blameless and harmless without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. It takes effort, but we need to look at things, whether it's things in the world, things in the country, situations, whatever, to look at things through the filter of God's Word. What does God's Word say? And not emotions. And so many people are driven by emotions. And that's the wrong starting point. Because, you know, things going on, you know, in our country, it's not about politics. It's really not. If we want to look at the bigger picture, it's not about Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus progressive, progressive versus conservative. It's not. It is a spiritual battle. The Bible is very clear. That is a spiritual battle. There's evil in this world. Now, hearing about ungodly decisions, ungodly policies, that disturbs people who are godly. You know, people that have a basis, a standard of truth, when they hear that, whether it's political or the next door neighbor, we hear something that's ungodly, that's disturbing, that's off the mark, right? But for people who don't really care about God's truth, and they might be nice people, smile, say, hi, how are you, I'm good. They might even believe that there is a God or a higher power, but you know, they don't have a basis of the truth of God's word. Those people can be, number one, easily swayed by emotions and then deceived into thinking that ungodly decisions and ungodly policies might be a good thing. But this might be a good thing. Or number two, they could get discouraged and confused and not understand what's going on. But that's why the more a person knows and understands the truth of God's word, and has that as a standard for life, the more they can see past the emotional smoke screens when ungodly things are promoted. And of course, you know, in our country, we have the privilege to go vote and not vote for somebody who might be promoting ungodly things, right? Timothy says, pray for those who are in charge, that we could lead a quiet and peaceable life. You know, we pray. Maybe we pray for people that are ungodly to just be stopped. You know, we pray for our leaders. I mean, that's the best we can do, right? Jesus Christ didn't advocate overthrowing, organizing and overthrowing the Romans, or even overthrowing the Pharisees and all their baloney. You know, he went about teaching the kingdom of God. God's word, the light of God's word. That's what he did. And you know, if God leads you into, you know, doing something, being on a school board or whatever, that's fine. If God works in you to do something, but I believe with all my heart our priority as God's people for this day and time is to live God's word in our own lives, to live it, to live the word of God. And then, you know, there are times that we will encounter setbacks and challenges. And in those times, we, you know, we regroup, we get our help from God. And, you know, the one body works together. We're not supposed to be islands. We're a family. We're one body. So there's times we have challenges and setbacks, and we help each other. We build each other up. We, you know, do what we can do. We do our best, though, to live according to the word of God, and then we endeavor to share the truth and the light of God's word with others. Because a lack of a knowledge of God's word, ungodly things become more and more promoted. It's why it's a spiritual fight. It has nothing to do with, I'm a Republican, I voted for... We need to get the truth of God's word to people. So how do we shine as light? So this verse again, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life. And holding forth is better translated holding on to. or holding fast to by fixing your attention on the word of life. You shine as lights in the world, holding on to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding on to the word of life. You know, I made a note here. Maybe I missed it. I did. You know, in Acts 16, which is when Paul went to Philippi, you can read a little bit about what it was like. Some people didn't like what he was preaching. They went to the authorities, and Paul and Silas were arrested, beaten, and thrown in jail. Right? You remember reading that in Acts 16, right? In this letter to the Philippians, have you noticed that, if you've read it all, God, by way of Paul, is not giving them any political advice? You don't read in the book of the Epistle of Philippians, "Now remember when I got there and all this bull crap happened? Now I hope you guys have organized so that if I come again, this crap doesn't happen." Have you guys... Don't read that. Don't read that at all, do you? How about when you read Ephesians? What a great place that was to live. It was Diana headquarters. Right? Their main income was tourism. All the little Diana trinket shops everywhere. Remember when you read about wherever that was in Acts 19, where they had that big thing where they said, you know, people are not going to love Diana anymore, and plus we're going to lose our jobs because people aren't going to buy the little trinkets anymore. Great is Diana and the Ephesians. Remember that? When you read in the book or the epistle to the Ephesians, Paul doesn't say, "Now, have you guys cleared those folks out? Have you guys organized so that now you're in charge?" Don't read that, right? You read about put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, right? Same thing in the other epistles. So I believe that the word of God in the church epistles is just as relevant today as it was when Paul sent those letters to Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, Rome, just as relevant as they were 2,000 years ago, because it's a living word, and they are words from God to his people, to his children, to us. We are God's people for this day and time, and here are words from our God on how to live our lives. And to think that God would have his word written and then, "Oh, gosh, I didn't really realize things were going to get that crazy. Maybe we should write some new epistles." And it's just as relevant today. God has told us many things in his word, how to think, what to do for our day and time. So we're going to read a little more this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. We're just reading for reading, just to kind of absorb some of our Father's words. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." It's amazing how many times when you read the church epistles, we saw it in Philippians already, how many times love comes up. Love one another. Love each other. I mentioned several weeks ago, a few times, you know, as crazy as things are, we need to love each other more now than ever. We really do. We need to love each other. Endeavoring, verse 3, "to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. We just read in Philippians, God is at work in you. Yes. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting means for the equipping, the furnishing of the saints. That's the responsibility that the five ministries have, is to furnish, to perfect, to equip the saints. For what purpose? For the work of the ministry. It's not those five we refer to as gift ministries. It is not their total responsibility for the work of the ministry. It's all of us. We're all called for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not the five ministries that are the only ones that can edify the body. That doesn't match up with what you're reading Corinthians 12, does it? Where I would you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. Greater is he that prophesied than he that speaks in tongues, lest he interpret, that the church may receive edification. Exactly, edify. We're to edify one another. So the ministry is there, verse 12. It's for the perfecting, the furnishing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we finally get a government that's more favorable. Doesn't say that, does it? No, because we live in an evil world. There's an adversary. We're not in heaven yet. So that's why I said, still relevant for the last 2,000 years, God's words to us, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. With a strong foundation of God's word, we don't get deceived. We don't get blown about. We look at things through the filter of the word and we go, that's bull crap. That's ungodly. I'm not buying into that. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Each one of us has something to supply. Each joint supply. Isn't that beautiful? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, this is what God's telling us. You know, we get, well, did you hear about what? Yeah, I heard about that, but you know what? I belong to God's family, you know. I'm into edifying the body. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. No, it's not available to put on the new man if you don't know who the new man is. You know? Be like saying, go put on that new shirt. Where is it? I don't know. I want you to go put it on. But where is it? I don't know. You couldn't go put it on, right? We find the new man in the scriptures. Oh, that's who I put on. That's who I really am. Put on the new man, Verse 25, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Neither let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Right? But that which is good to the use of, there it is again, edifying, build people up. Those in our family, you know, the body of Christ, we build each other up, and we could build other people up as well. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Sometimes a news report can stir those things up, right? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, we need love more than ever before, and we need to forgive one another. You know, somebody rubs you the wrong way, says something that hurts your feelings, let it go. Let it go. One more place in the epistles, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. Just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago when our Father had it written for us. Because God knew that we live in an evil world and it wasn't going to change until Christ comes back. So, you know, sometimes things swing one way and it's not as ungodly. Then it swings another way. It gets real ungodly. It's like we just follow what our Father says. And Jesus Christ is coming back when? We don't know. Chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Oh, no. We are going up. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's not, you know, literally sleeping. It just means being like oblivious. But watch, be sober. They that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we are watching or whether we're oblivious, we're still going to get gathered together. But God says, why don't you stay awake? Why don't you be productive? Why don't you love? Why don't you edify? Why don't you be a part of the one body? Give, bless, and be an example to others and shine. Let your light shine. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. We encourage one another. Edify one another, even as also you do. See where all the focus is? You know, Thessalonica was just an idolatrous place. All these places were. And so God, by way of Paul, didn't go, where's the politics in here? Where's the government stuff? It's not. It's like, take care of each other and shine as lights and hold forth the word. Comfort yourself, edify one another. Verse 12, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, admonish you, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, to warn them that are unruly. Ooh, that doesn't mean go on a reproof campaign. Just looking for stuff. Unruly means totally out of line, totally out of rank. You know, somebody came to fellowship, you know, with a beer in their hand and they were just totally plastered. That's way out of line. You've got to take them aside and help them get it together. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, those that are weak, that need some help. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore.
There's nothing to rejoice about these days. Everything's just terrible.
Plenty in the Word of God to rejoice about. Plenty. What's that song, Count Your Blessings? Mm-hmm. Name them one by one. Start writing things you're thankful for. Just make a list sometime. What am I thankful for? Just start a list. Tell you what, you'll be rejoicing. You'll be blessed. Pray without ceasing. Guess we need to pray a lot. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. How are you going to do that if you don't know God's Word? Mm-hmm. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. You know, whatever that means, a holy kiss. It just shows that
communicates just the affection. You know, like, hi, how are you? Glad to see you.
Whatever. No, I'm blessed to see you. God bless you. It's a holy kiss, a holy embrace. You know, where we're tender to one another. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. I like that. Look, read this to everybody. Okay, make sure everybody hears this. Why? It's God's word that we need to hear for our day and time. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We're going to close in Matthew 5. I'm not going to read Romans 12. I'll encourage you to read that this afternoon or sometime this week. Because I mentioned last week that at the end of Romans 8, verses 9, 10, and 11 are parentheses, and chapter 12 starts the practical application. And in light of what we've looked at this morning, if you read Romans 12, it's like, all right, get busy ministering, get busy serving, get busy just doing God's word. And you could also, if you wanted to, in light of what we've looked at, read 1 Corinthians 12. All the members in particular, we all have a function. No member's more important than any other member. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye, the whole body was an eye, then we wouldn't have any hearing. It's one great, wonderful body working together. Really terrific. 5 of Matthew. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's therefore good for nothing. Matthew 5:13. Sorry about that. We'll start over. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are God's people for this day and time. And so we can let our light shine. You know, we can put God's word on in our hearts and minds. When we face things, we go to God and get the help and the deliverance that we need. We work with each other. We love each other. And then we let our light shine. And we can make a difference. It's only the adversary that would talk you out of, well, it doesn't matter if I speak God's word to anybody. And that's in chapter what? When did God say that? what epistle did God say? It really doesn't matter. You,
No, we just follow what our Father said to do. And we have a great example of Jesus Christ, who was obedient, who was humble, and served. And so we can make a difference. And we will run into plenty of people who are like disgusted, angry, ticked off, discouraged. And we can ask them. We can talk to them. We can give them some light of God's word. We're not going to solve any political issues with anybody. But we can certainly bring the light of God's word to them. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for all that you have given to us in the new birth, for the love you have for each one of us. And Father, may we, in turn, love our brothers and sisters and care for one another. And Father, may we also carry that love and your light to a world that desperately needs it. And Father, we just, like your word says, we just plant and water. But as we do that, we let our light shine. We let people see that we are blessed. In the midst of bullcrap, we can still be blessed. We can still rejoice because we have a relationship with God Almighty, and we have a book of his promises that he fulfills for us. And we have a ticket out of this world. So, Father, thanks for the privilege of sharing your word this morning, for your great love for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Any comments?
When you said about ticket, that reminded me of some song that actually was popular a long time ago. People get ready, there's a train that's coming. There it is. Mm-hmm. Don't need no ticket, you just get on board. Nice song. I like that song. Don't need no baggage, you just thank the Lord. That's another part.
No baggage.
Anybody else got anything to share? That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
A lot of people seem to be wanting to give up. What can we do? And if you go on Facebook, everybody posts these snarky comments. And I'm going, and what is the profit here? That's nice. You know, do something. Open your mouth.
It's a constant renewed mind effort. But, you know, if you got to renew your mind, renew your mind. If you got to do it again, do it again. If you got to do it again, do it again. Just keep renewing your mind and just keep focusing on God's word. No matter how many times you got to do it, just keep doing it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You stay blessed and people wonder, well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, well, how can you?
Why are you so blessed? Why are you so
it's a great point.
Why are things going so well? Because of God. I mean, it's not me.
Doesn't cost anymore.
Yeah.
But see, that's such a great point. It's like, how can you be so, well, don't you know what's going on? Yeah, I know exactly what's going on, but I'm not a part of that because I've got God in my life. Mm-hmm. Would you like to have God in your life?
Aren't you afraid?
Exactly. Yeah. I got no worries.
And you know, another thing too is asking God, is there somebody I can bless today? Is there somebody I can help?
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Might be a believer you know. It might be somebody you've never met before. And somebody that you can help.
Sometimes we're not aware of the opportunities we have to bless somebody until we pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And we heard that this morning. Pay attention. Be listening.
Years ago at the Rock of Ages, every morning at 6 a.m., they would play Good Morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. What can I do for you today? It was a great, great way to wake up.
You know what? In between, maybe sometime Kathy will share the longer version of this, but in between the first surgery and then when things kind of got whacked and she was still recovering from the first surgery, they brought a girl into her room, you know, because it was a room for two people. And this girl was, I don't know how old she was, right around my daughter's age, maybe 40 years old or something. Anyway, she was from Ohio, was riding with her boyfriend to go to California to get something. There was a very bad wreck. And
she ended up in the hospital with, some broken ribs, and plus she had, where she needed insulin. But anyway, she had lost all her IDs in the wreck. It was a rollover kind of thing. So she was kind of in bad shape, but she was okay, but just had nothing. And her boyfriend, he's back in Ohio. And so she needs to get to Ohio. You can't get on a bus without an ID. She got no money. She has nothing. So, you know, in talking with her, and Kathy will tell you the long story, but anyway, she hadn't talked to her mother in like 8 years. So I guess her mother found out about it, and her mother paid for her bus ticket, I think, Greyhound bus ticket or something. And then somebody else paid for her insulin, because they were going to charge like $800, but somebody got it to where it was like $200. But she has nothing, you know. The only clothes that she has is the hospital gown. That's it. Because, you know, they had cut her other clothes from the wreck and all this. So no ID, nothing. And so I guess one of the nurses said they were going to give her some scrubs that she could wear on the bus, you know. So Kathy and I are talking. It's like, we got to help this girl. So I know Kathy spent some time in the evening sharing with her and counseling with her about her relationship with her mother. And, you know, told her, said, you need to go, when you get back home, you need to just sit down with your mother and just say, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the stuff that I've done. And mend it. And, you know, shared a lot of other word with her. So we wrote down some stuff, and I went to Walmart to buy women's clothing. I don't know anything. I didn't know where to look. And then I had Kathy on the phone, and I got a Walmart person to help me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, so where are your sports bras? Where are you under? So we got her, like two, pants or whatever you call them, shirts to match. We got her some underwear. We got her some toiletries. Got her a bag to carry the stuff in. Bunch of stuff. And brought it up to her. And she was crying like a baby. She couldn't believe these strangers are doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I got her some flip-flops, I think. Was she going to go barefoot? And then I gave her $50. She went, no, I said, you got to eat something on the way. I mean, it's like a 30-hour bus ride or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is what we do. We bless people because God has blessed us. And, you know, I shared some of the word with her, prayed with her. You know, we kind of sent her on her way. But it's like she will never forget that it was people that loved God. If she, you know, who knows if she ever turns on to the word, if she really accepts Jesus Christ. But that's what we do. You know, we're just out loving people, blessing people when we can. But it's too bad we didn't have a video of me in the store. Because I don't even know what to call these things. I'm telling the lady, I think it's a top or something. She's like, what? But when Kath gets better, she could tell you the whole story. But there's always an opportunity to love people and bless people. And that's who we are. We are God's people for this day and time. This is the time we live in, and you know, this is what God has to work with us. So praise the Lord. He said he works within us, so I'm very blessed. Anybody else have something to share? Let me get off on the track.
Mm-hmm. It's just so nice to be able to have the body of Christ and be around the body of Christ. Sure. You guys all just bless me so much. It makes me cry. Your story made me cry a little bit, because I haven't had this, and this is such a blessing to me. So.
Well, we're blessed you're here.
Amen.